be to the Christian. So contentment, what do we make of it? You know, contentment can be as elusive as following that rainbow to find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, or it could be as easy as touching the nose on your face. We go after things that we think will make us happy. The advertising industry tries to convince us that we can't possibly be happy unless we have one of their products. This will make me stronger. That will make me thinner. Cindy Crawford's age-defying formula will make me into a supermodel. This new pressure cooker will make the meal of a lifetime. Set it and forget it. You can drive a Humvee over this amazing flashlight, and later on that night, you can chase away a burglar. Or this device can replace every power tool in your garage. But wait, there's more. We all get the idea, don't we? We often take the bait to find out that we own one more thing that breaks down, one thing on a credit card, or one more thing we need to find a space for. Americans nowadays seem to always be on the move, looking for a better house, a better job, a better place to live, and a better place to raise a family, a better place to retire. I fall in one of these categories, by the way. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that these are all bad things or inappropriate. In fact, many of these things become necessary in different stages of one's life. But it's when it's being fueled by a gnawing discontentment that we think we'll be satisfied when we find what we're looking for, only to find that once we have it, we're still not satisfied. One of the things that I want to make perfectly clear, contentment does not mean being complacent. As Christians, we can work to better our circumstances as we have the opportunity. The Scriptures commends hard work and the rewards that come with it. In Proverbs 12:14, it says, "From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the works of their hands brings them reward." So for the Christian, what does contentment really mean to us? I feel it's simply stated, it's an inner peace that comes that means being right with God and knowing that He is in control of all things, along with us having our focus on the kingdom and serving Him. I feel that there's three main points to that secret of contentment, and contentment comes from learning that the Lord is the one whom I must submit. Contentment is learning that the Lord is the one whom I must serve. And contentment is learning that the Lord is the one whom I must trust. And you may say, why do you say these things are learned? The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:11 says, "For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." And he learned by submitting, serving, and trusting the Lord. You know, collectively, sets serving and submitting and trusting are things that are not always easy for the human experience to accept or to understand. Collectively, they are typically not natural instincts for us. It didn't come naturally for the Apostle Paul either, but it's a process that is something we learn by walking with God day by day by day. I think the first time in my life where I witnessed this was my first mission trip to India. And Brother Jay, that mission, in some fashion, they are harassed on a regular basis from the local authorities. Every time somebody comes and visits them, the local authorities come to the Bible college to check out our visas. You know, they give you the old evil eye routine, and but the mission has to do that so they can show the local authorities that they're not trying to hide anything and being totally transparent. In the event that they do something and the authorities think that they're trying to hide, they can expect the harassment to pick up pace for a bit. Brother Jay himself has been jailed for being accused of converting people to Christianity. Whenever they travel to village churches or to look for other new opportunities in India, they carry weapons with them for protection. Ernest has been shot at, the bullet going right through the windshield. They face all these things, but yet they are content. You know, everybody here, I think, has heard the infamous car chase deal that Joby and I were involved in India several years ago. And that was a very harrowing, nervous day for both me and Joby, actually. And by the time we got back to Damo that night, we were approximately 9 to 10 hours in a vehicle that day, driving or riding. And the roads in India are extremely rough. And by the time we had got back to the mission, we both had headaches. Our stomachs were upset, kind of in knots, and on the verge of doing something else. And we were just like, could not wait to get something cold to drink and to lay down and just decompress. And we got out of the car, and Brother Jay says, "Hey, we'll see you in 30 minutes. We got worship time in the chapel." There is a content person in the Lord right there. Of course, it didn't bother me. It was Joby's turn to speak anyway. So let's look at our first bullet point on contentment. You know, contentment comes from learning that the Lord is the one whom I must submit. Submission. You know, that is that's a tough pill to swallow. Just the word itself brings up negative thoughts. And it means that I am not in control anymore. Someone else is in control. Worldly submission is as limited as men can make it, but biblical submission is as broad as mankind. The natural man tends to measure his worth by his status, and his status is determined by the ratio of those over him versus those under him. The goal then, therefore, is to reduce those above you and increase those in authority below you. In Mark 9, verses 30 through 35, we can see even the disciples were arguing with one another as to who was the greatest. In the eyes of the world, the greatest is the one that has no one over him. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus says, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and be a servant of all. Submission is also at the heart of discipleship. Jesus called men just not only to believe in him, but to follow him. And a disciple is a learner and a follower, a student who has submitted himself to the teacher. Our goal should be to follow the example of Jesus, who he himself submitted to the will of the Father by going to the cross. And we honor Christ by following his example in this area. Our second point is contentment comes from learning that the Lord is the one whom I must serve. You know, if you live for yourself and your own pleasures in this world, you will not know God's contentment. But, if you live to serve the Savior, you will be content whether you have little or whether you have much. Seeking first God's kingdom means serving him with what he has entrusted to each and every one of us. And how we manage what's been entrusted to us tells us a lot where our heart is. What spiritual gifts are we holding back on? Do we have a special talent that's not being used? Are we holding back on how much time we dedicate to service of the Lord, just not on a Sunday, but throughout the week? Or are we holding back on our financial support, limiting what can be done for the kingdom? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If your treasure is in this world, your heart will be in this world, which really isn't the most secure environment these days. If your treasure is in the kingdom of God, your heart is in the most secure environment possible. Matthew 20:28 reads, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Our goal then should be to follow the example of Jesus, who he himself not came to be served, but to serve others. We honor Christ by following his example. Our third point is contentment comes from learning that the Lord is the one whom I must trust. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." As I was researching a little bit just what it meant to trust someone with all your heart, I came across an interesting article. Google has everything these days, but it's secular in nature, but it has a tremendous amount of truth to it. It was titled, "Nine Signs You Know You Can Trust Someone with All Your Heart." Instead of looking through the eyes of us humans, let's just take a moment and look through the eyes of Jesus. And the first 8 points, our article starts with this person. And in this example, we'll replace the name of Jesus for that. For example, number one was, "This person has known me for at least a year." We'll replace that with Jesus. "Jesus has known me for at least a year." Well, the fact of the matter is, Jesus has known us for eternity. Jesus has never lied to you. Jesus doesn't need to be chased after. Jesus told you that he isn't going anywhere. Jesus has always treated you well and has respected you. Jesus is always there for you when you need him. Jesus is willing to inconvenience himself to make you happy. He did go to the cross, by the way, didn't he? And Jesus is trustworthy. Finally, step 9 comes back to us. If you believe or feel that steps 1 through 8 are consistent with the makeup of Jesus, then you're ready for that relationship with Jesus to move forward. Jesus desires to have a relationship with each and every one of us. So, as we close out today, the points that I would like for us to reflect on: is our faith in Christ strong enough to fully submit to him? Is our faith in Christ strong enough to fully serve him? And is our faith in Christ strong enough to fully trust him? If it is, my friends, you're on your way to unlock the secret of contentment. To be captivated by Christ as the one who I submit, the one I serve, and the one I trust. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today that we could gather today. Lord, we pray that that our hearts are touched, that we will be committed to submit to you, to serve you, to trust you. Lord, it is indeed a process that we learn day by day by day by walking with you. Lord, the scriptures are filled with examples. Lord, our life experiences filled with examples of those who do just that, and through all things, indeed, they are content. But above all, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And it's his name that we pray. Amen.